Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Over the past few months, I've been on a personal mission to save the United States Postal Service. It's a mission that developed for a few reasons. First, I recently learned about some of the troubles the post office is having, that they're running out of money and that people aren't sending as much mail as they did in the past. And then, of course, the coronavirus pandemic has cut down on the ways that we here at church can connect with people, so I decided that since mail was one thing we could still do, that I would give that a try. And then finally, I discovered that I really kind of enjoyed the lost art of letter writing. So for the past few months, I have been on this mission, and let me tell you, it has been somewhat frustrating. Because as we all know, that despite some great individual postal workers out there, there's some problems with our postal service. It's slow. It's kind of expensive. I got something in the mail at my house a few weeks ago, and the person who sent it didn't put enough postage on it, and I had to put 45 cents back in my mailbox because of this thing that got sent to me that I didn't even want. And I thought, this is so ridiculous. You're gonna make me put 45 cents in my mailbox? How are you even going to know I did this? Are you going to come after me if I don't? But I did it because I'm on this mission to save the post office. And then all of this frustration, it culminated about a week and a half ago when I had a bunch of cards to mail out here at the church, and I put them in our mailbox and I put the flag up, and the mail came that day and they didn't even take my cards to mail. The flag just stayed up. And so I stood in the church office and I looked out at our mailbox in despair. And I said, doesn't the postal service know how hard I'm trying to save it? Can't it just try a little bit? Can't it be a little bit more worthy of being saved? It's like it doesn't even want me to save it. And then I kind of paused and I thought about it for a minute and I said, I wonder if Jesus ever feels that way about me. After all, I'm not the greatest. And despite the amount of grace and forgiveness that Christ has given me, I can't pretend by any stretch of the imagination to always live out my salvation and my faith in the best way. And so I wouldn't blame Jesus if he would look at me every once in a while and think, doesn't she realize how hard I'm trying to save her? Can't she just try a little bit? Can't she be a little bit more worthy of being saved? It's like she doesn't even want to be saved. But Jesus doesn't do this, because the good news of our faith is that Jesus doesn't feel the same way about saving us as I do about saving the post office. In fact, the very truth of the gospel is that Christ saves us, not because we're worthy or because we're trying hard enough, but because he loves us. That's what this passage from Romans this morning is all about. Throughout the first four chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul has been writing about how we aren't saved by our works. We're not saved by what we do. Instead, our salvation is a free gift from Christ. And so when he starts the chapter off with these words, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith," he's drawing on all of the things he's written in the previous chapters as proof. But that doesn't seem to be enough. Because after some words about peace and hope that we're going to get to in a few minutes, Paul writes this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We aren't saved because we're worthy. We're saved by the love of Christ. This is the best good news in our lives. Our salvation isn't up to us. There was never a part of God's plan to leave it to us. Just think for a minute about what those verses are saying. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The right time for Christ to die wasn't when we started getting our act together. It wasn't when we got enough power or got strong enough. The right time for Christ to die was while we were weak, when we needed it the most, when there could be no confusion among us that we had done something to earn this or done something to be forgiven. And then Paul talks about how rare it is for somebody to die for a good or righteous person. And we know this. That's why we honor as heroes the few people that do this in our world. Soldiers who give their lives to protect their troops, or parents who find themselves in a dangerous situation with their children and sacrifice themselves for their children. But Paul is saying that Jesus did something even more amazing. He died for the sinners and for the ungodly. He died for those who didn't deserve it. He died for us. I really want you to let that truth sink in this morning, because it's so different from what our world is constantly telling us. We live in a world that tells us that you have to deserve it in order to be saved. They have to be a certain way or have a certain amount of stuff or look a certain way to matter. We live in a world that deems people worthy of being saved in the same way that I'm trying to save the post office, only if it does its part too. But that's not the gospel. That's not the good news of our faith. The gospel is that Jesus died and rose again to save us from our sins, to offer us abundant life now and life for all eternity, not because we are worthy or deserved it, but because Jesus loves us so much. That's true for you. Jesus loves you, no matter what. There's nothing you have to do to earn that love, to receive that grace, or that forgiveness. Your salvation isn't tied up in anything you do. You matter to Jesus not because of anything you have done, but because he loves you. That's good news for your life. Remember that. Hold on to that. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news for our lives. That's the gospel for us. But here's the thing. That's also the good news and the gospel for other people, too. At the right time, while we were still weak, Christ died for you and for me and for your estranged family member and for your annoying coworker and for your ex and for the bully at your school and for the politician that you dislike and for the friend you ignore because they're too demanding and for whoever else you struggle to agree with or get along with. Nadia Boltz-Weber, who's a Lutheran pastor in Colorado, writes in one of her books, "If the gospel is where we find healing from the harm done to us, then it must also be where we find freedom. Meaning that even if it's the last thing I want to do, I absolutely have to believe that the gospel is powerful enough, transgressive enough, beautiful enough to heal not only the ones who have been hurt, but also those who have done the hurting. Do we see them? Do we see the ways in which they were all likelihood trying to be faithful? Do we see the ways in which we too may have inadvertently, in our own desire to be faithful, hurt others? I hate that this is God's economy, that the salvation of my enemy is tied up in my own. Which is why I sometimes say that the gospel is like the worst good news I've ever heard in my life. The truth of the gospel is true for everybody. Christ offers salvation to all. It doesn't matter if we like them or not. It doesn't matter if we agree with them or not. It doesn't matter if we think they're worthy or not. Now, I know this is really challenging for us, because we ourselves are in need of salvation, and we're broken and we're messed up. We fail to see other people the way that Christ sees them. And so it's hard for us to not only see other people as those Jesus wants to save, but to treat other people as those that Jesus wants to save. But that's what we're called to do, because Christ has offered us salvation. The beginning part of our scripture this morning tells us that as a result of our salvation, we receive peace with God and hope, the kind of hope that never disappoints us. This peace and hope that's promised to us is found when we really start to believe this good news of Jesus, not just for us, but for others too. Look, if you're constantly frustrated with others, if you're constantly looking down on others, if you're constantly focusing on what divides instead of what unites, you aren't going to have much peace or hope. When I get mad at the postal service for not taking my mail but gladly taking my 45 cents, I don't have much peace or hope. When I start to realize that they're just fellow human beings, probably struggling a little more like all of us right now, well, then it's a lot easier to find peace and hope. Real peace and hope, the peace and hope that is found only in Christ, changes us and changes the way we interact with others. So as one who has received the free gift of salvation, while you were weak and powerless and undeserving, think about all the ways that seeing others as those who Jesus wants to save will change you. For me, well, I'm still going to try to save the post office, but I'm going to do it with messages of hope and peace to others and with an attitude of patience. I even got to start practice this week when they failed to take the mail at my house. But instead of getting angry, I just re-put the flag up and waited another day, and the next day they did indeed take my mail. How will you be changed? Maybe this good news and this good news for others will cause you to apologize for something you did to harm somebody else. Maybe it will cause you to forgive somebody who hurt you. Maybe you will start to listen to somebody you disagree with. Maybe you'll seek to make peace. Maybe you'll see somebody as a fellow child of God and not a statistic or a stereotype. Maybe you'll come to see others as defined not by the worst thing they had done, but by the worst good news, that Christ offers salvation to all. Christ offers salvation to you, not because of anything you have done, not because you're strong or powerful or have it all together, but because Jesus loves you. And Jesus offers salvation to other people too, not because of anything they have done, not because they are strong or powerful or have it all together, but because Jesus loves them too. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have offered to us, that out of your great love that you did not wait for us to be worthy or to earn it, to offer us forgiveness and grace. Lord, help us to see that this is good news not just for our lives, but for other people too. Help us to treat others as those who you want to save too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.